Welcome to another fabulous shed session. We have such a beautiful summer's evening out there. You can probably hear the birds singing again. Most sessions in the spring and summer, you can hear lots of bird song. Maybe not this time. We've tweaked the sound a little bit. It's not about the birds. It's about our artist who's with us today. But before I get on to that, I just want to say the raspberries are now ripened, and I spoke about that last time. Alex is here. Thank you, Alex. He's the photographer, and I refer to him because he loves the raspberries and he's been eating those. I kind of think this would be our rider if we were to go on tour. We need to say we need raspberry plants next to the stage or next to the green room, and we could just pick fresh raspberries. And if they're not there, you can bring them in planters or whatever. But it's a beautiful setting. The sun's setting in the west. It's streaming into the shed again. And I am so excited to be joined by Pet Twin. Welcome to the shed, and I'll call you James because obviously your name is not Pet Twin.
Yeah.
This is the first question that I didn't say I was going to ask it, but why not? Where does the name Pet Twin come from?
You know, to be honest, I don't quite remember, other than I think I thought it was a weird concept, like the idea of having a twin or a relationship with a twin where like one's not subservient to the other. I don't mean it to be weird. It was just a weird concept, you know, like having a pet human in your house or something. I don't mean it in a weird way. It was just funny. Like, I just thought it was funny, to be honest.
And I think it's really catchy and it stands out. And when I first saw the name, I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. And then, of course, I did what people do. I Googled it, and there's no other band or musician called Pet Twin, which is a great start. And I also noted that people, when they sell dogs, they sometimes sell them as twins. So it will be a boy and a girl, twin dog. So they only once or twice did it say Pet Twin. But it's fairly rare, that combination of wording, but I think it's nice. And actually, it doesn't need an explanation, does it? It's just cool.
Yeah, I think the only time I had any issues with it was trying to get an Instagram account. And that was when I found out about the dog thing too. So it's pet.twin because of that, because it was already taken. But yeah, it was just, I thought it was funny. I think I was like brainstorming like record label names. And then that one was like, oh, actually, that's useful and I'll use it at some point down the line.
I like it. I think you've done a good job with that. And as I said, I am thrilled to have you with us. And I'm so glad we made contact and you came to the Shed Sessions Unplugged that we did at the White House. And you came with your partner and we had a brief chat there. And I've been listening to your music, Juniper Nights. And I think the other one is Self-Help.
Self-Help, yeah.
And of course, Pet Twin. And it's something that I've wanted to do for a while, so I'm really happy that we got in touch and this is happening tonight.
Me too.
So thank you very much. And I was also going to say that it's been a wonderful few days in the sunshine, and I went camping with the family and I thought I liked camping, but it is a lot of hard work. It took hours to set up. And when we got everything back home on the Sunday, just after lunch, it took about 4 hours to pack it all away. I'm not sure why I'm sharing that with you, but maybe someone can relate to that. once you're there, it's fine. But the minute you sit down and relax, then you've got to think about how you're going to cook your next meal. And, oh, I forgot the pan. And, oh, can I use this bottled water to boil? And I'm very tired. And when you've got kids, they just turn up and have fun.
Yeah.
And you do all the work. I don't want to burden them with my pain, so I don't tell them how much hard work it is. Perhaps they noticed, but it's a rough experience. But at least I got to swim in the river, which was very nice. And while I was drifting in the river, looking at the reeds on the side and the beautiful willow trees, there were some lovely willow trees there where they actually use those willow trees to make cricket bats. There was some information we got given before we were allowed to camp. You had to sign it that you read it. And you can't tie stuff onto those willow trees because it damages the bark and then it stains the grain of the wood and then they can't use it to make cricket bats. But anyway, those trees are wonderful all along the riverbanks. And while I was floating along, I was thinking of your songs because you've got a wonderfully titled song, I'm looking float along, actually. So I said it right. And I know your videos and things you shoot are very nature-based. So it was a good preparation for me being out there. Mm-hmm. And then I had to start dismantling the camp and bring it all back. But you're here to bring some joy. And, well, I don't know, your songs are quite melancholy and all of that, but we'll get there. But how about we go straight in and hear one of your tunes?
Yeah, sure. So the first one is Float Along. So you float along the way. Is that what this is? Something more than a day. You fix it in bed. Threaten to change. Thought you would quit. They thought you might stay. Thought you did. Under your wings. Thought you did. Under your wings. Under your.
So lucky every time I do this. And Joe was listening to she listens to all the episodes and she says, one thing you do all the time is you say like, oh, that was amazing and I got goosebumps and I'm crying and all of that. But I genuinely am. I think it's just such a privilege to have an artist like you in the shed sharing your music. And I'm very grateful. We all are. And it's a great song and it definitely has that floating feel. I think you've captured floating in, and it's just awesome. And so that's a single you released in this year, 2023.
Yeah, in February, I think that was.
And they've been coming in quite thick and fast. I mean, you've been making quite a few songs.
Yeah, I think I put one out, Wandering, at the end of December, like the very end of last year, and I decided, like, I hadn't put music out in so long with any project, so I was like, I'm having something this year. And from there it was like, why not do one a month and like more or less push myself to try and do that. So so far I have in some form, whether it's up on Spotify or Bandcamp, but there has been one a month.
That's fantastic. And to have that inspiration coming in all the time, it's, you may as well float along and ride that wave, I guess.
Yeah.
And I counted 8 singles that you have out, or there's probably more. Yeah.
I think that's right, about right.
So you're almost ready for an album. I think you could, I mean, it depends if they all fit together, right? But is that your plan?
I think I'd definitely like to do one. But I just want to keep putting stuff out and hopefully people are interested. I have a plan for a sort of one-off show at some point. But I'd, not in a pretentious way, I'd like to do it more as a sort of piece of art as opposed to a gig, if that makes sense. I don't know. I don't know if you've seen stuff that Martin from Octavia Freud's done. He had this thing recently, Gary, I Love You. And I went to see that and it was incredible. Like, so funny and so much going on. And I felt like I'd love to do something like that with this, that's so different to what I'd normally do, and like immerse myself in this like story side of it. So I think an album would like tie into that quite nicely.
I think that's a fantastic idea, and to be inspired by a local artist like Octavia Freud. And
yeah, he's great. He's great.
You've been really, I'll say good. I don't know if that's the right word, but I'll just use it anyway because I can't think of another word. But you've been really good at supporting local artists and collaborating with them. I know you're in a couple of other bands, which I'd love to talk about in just a little bit.
Yeah.
But you came to the Shed Sessions Unplugged and you went to the Octavia Freud gig, and I think you attend lots of local shows.
Yeah, I mean, I think Oxford in general is just quite good for that. It's quite a tight-knit scene and people are really supportive in general. Like, Ian is one of them. And I think it was probably when I joined Easter Island Statues playing drums for them that I began to realise there's more than just like your band and trying to only focus it and see it from your band's side. And more than that, like their drummer, Tom Hitch, played with Juniper Nights for about a year. And I feel like he was my way into the scene in a sense, because he is so personal and like a lovely guy. And I think I ended up going to things with him, and then it felt a bit easier to sort of do that on my own and get to meet people gradually. And then I guess the more people you know, the more stuff there is to go to and more reason there is to go to it.
And so much to learn. You're soaking it all up as you go along. But, I'd love to chat more with you perhaps later about some of your ideas to make an immersive art experience with your music. I think there's been a few bands that have done things like that. I think at one point Radiohead did a gig inside a circus tent, and I think when they did that, that was quite unusual, and I think lots of bands are doing that now, you know, having the stage in the middle and all of that. But yeah, there's so much there that you can work with. That's really cool to hear. You were talking about trying to release a single every month, or perhaps it just happens. I doubt you put too much pressure on yourself, but these things happen.
I think I put a little bit of pressure, and I think some of the songs I put out are semi-finished, probably. Like, I know I could tweak little things, but I'm trying to just be consistent and like enjoy them for what they are and not care too much. I think I'm trying to like aggressively not be how I am normally in like overthinking it and procrastinating, because you want it to be better, but you don't know where to start. So I think a lot of the songs are quite simple for that reason. So it's just do something I like, get it out, don't think about it once it's finished, and set the release date and then start working on the next one, really.
That's such a great philosophy or way of operating as an artist. I think that could be so useful for many people in lots of different art forms. And I experienced something similar with painting.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you start painting, you can worry about it too much, and you might have a day where the face or the hand or something doesn't look right. and you just think, oh, it doesn't matter, I'll go to bed, tomorrow is another day, and I'll do a bit more, and just keep going until it's done and not worrying too much. So
yeah.
I think it creates a piece of work that reflects that. It reflects that peaceful attitude that, you know, you're giving so much, and you know someone's going to benefit from it somewhere, and so are you in making it.
Yeah.
So you've just released a single today, actually,
mm-hmm.
and it's called Dark Forest.
Yeah.
And again, it's got a beautiful cover art, that tree that's kind of front lit, a big, beautiful tree, lots of wonderful shaped branches, and the song is beautiful too. And can you tell us a little bit about Dark Forest?
Yeah, I mean, I have to credit, I don't know if you know Andy, who's Pit Toad on Instagram, and is basically like a godsend to the scene, and that he turns up to every gig and does photos for free and will send them to you. And lovely guy. And I saw that picture like on his feed, because he posts nature stuff too, and it just felt like it fit the song. So that's the first time that it's not like me, apart from Help My Friends, that wasn't me too, I cheated, but otherwise it's normally stuff that I've taken, but that one just really struck me, and I asked him if it'd be all right to use it, so he was like more than happy for me to. And the song itself is about witches, it's meant to be, but I think all of the songs, I want them to have a sort of feeling or an aura to them, but lack being too overly specific, you know, it's more just the mood. But I imagine with that one, it's sort of like you're walking into a forest, and you know, you can sense these like witches around you, sort of gathering and sort of coming ever closer, but not quite like getting you. And I don't know if that makes sense, but I feel like I think of songs quite visually, even if they're not directly referenced in the lyrics. But that's the sort of vibe of the song to me, at least.
Yeah, it makes sense completely. And when I grew up, I was always scared of witches, but actually knowing that they're not going to harm you and they'll be around and they're doing their thing, that's mm-hmm. that's a good thing. I've been watching this series called Ghosts on BBC. I don't know which one it is, 1, 2, 3, I don't know, BBC iPlayer.
Yeah.
And that imagery of there's ghosts in the house, but they're not harmful. They're just there, and they interact with what the lead character, because she fell out of a window and then hurt her head, but something happened in her brain that made her able to see the ghosts and her partner can't. And I like the idea that ghosts aren't these dark, menacing things.
Yeah.
But in a way, I think this is why I'm attracted to your music, because I'm also very visual, and I love the artwork and the videos, and the fact that you didn't take that photo, but you saw it, you have an eye for those things, is equally as impressive. You know where to capture stuff from.
Yeah, I think nature stuff is, there's just so much that you can get from it in general, and often it's just that I'm out by myself, so I can't really take very good pictures of myself or anything to put them in it. And I've always preferred like solo albums where it's not just a guy's or a woman's like face, because it feels quite lazy. It's like, I know it's you, it's obviously you, like it doesn't really tell me anything about like the album. So I like trying to do stuff that's not just me. Partly just I'm uncomfortable with like filming myself anyway, just not like that. I'm okay with other people doing it. Just if I do it, I'm like, no, bad, no. So it's easier to not.
I understand. I get that, yeah. Well, congratulations on releasing that single. And it's a great song. I enjoyed it very, very much. I listened to it a few times
mm-hmm.
today, actually. I was looking forward to it, and it works really well, and I love it. So you must feel happy that you've put that out there, and yeah.
Like it's really nice to put stuff out, and I recorded that one and the previous one, Cabrini Green, with Mike at Safe House Studios. So that was the first time not doing it myself and having like proper drums in there and a lot more instrumentation. So it was nice to feel like it took a step up. kind of in terms of production, and just because someone else is involved, it's nice to be like, oh, that's kind of share that moment a little bit.
Well, yeah, well done. It's a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
I'd recommend people go listen. It's on Bandcamp. And is it on Bandcamp yet? I listened on Spotify.
It will be.
Okay, it will be on Bandcamp.
I have to do it. I have to do it, but it will be.
It's on Spotify. But yeah, let's hear what you got next.
So this one's Too Many People, which was out in April, I think. Too many people trying to reach for similar things. It's not for me to deride or to realize. There's too many people who call for me to police their minds. It's not for me to decide or to realize.
Good song.
Yeah, thank you.
When you refer to too many people, is that... I've got my own interpretation, but perhaps before I go into it, would you like to share with us what it means? And obviously, if you don't want to, that's fine. I know you...
No, it's fine. It's not a overpopulation. There's too many people, literally. It's more of a... it's about the sort of feelings and the stuff mentioned in the song. So just empathizing, I guess. Like, there's too many people feeling like this or feeling like that. So I think I want all of the songs to be a kind of comfort blanket in a way, if you relate to the lyrics at all. So that's what it is, really. It's like, it's too many people feeling like that, and it sucks. But I understand, and I hope that helps a bit. You're not alone, really, is the gist of it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I got, and I'm not pretending. I did feel that from this song, and it's really nice and relatable, and also it made me think that sometimes, you know, when you ask people for help, that's fine, or you mention your problems to other people, that's fine, but ultimately, you hold the answer yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, lots of people will reach out, which is a great thing, but also it's important to, like, look within and see that you also can help yourself.
Definitely, and I think with the songs in general, I try to talk about depression and mental health and things like that in a way that I try not to filter out anything, like, in terms of stuff that I might feel a bit ashamed of and embarrassed of. You know, the types of feelings that you have, thoughts you have that make you feel bad, that you tell to yourself, that maybe you don't want to tell people you have going on. And I think it's like, I want to talk about those things, partly for myself to like accept myself completely, I guess, really. And I feel like it's healthy to talk about like the nasty stuff that you say to yourself or that you think sometimes, because thoughts are just thoughts, you know, they're not necessarily you. But I think it's nice to talk about that stuff in a way to make it less powerful, I guess, the negative side of it.
Yeah, it's really helpful. And it makes me think of your other band called Self Help.
Yeah.
And I didn't plan these segues, they just happen. But you are involved in quite a few projects. The ones that I've mentioned, Juniper Nights, mm-hmm. and Self Help, and then you mentioned another one.
Easter Island Statues. So at the moment there's not too much going on with that, but still technically going. But Don, the singer, is doing his own thing too, Kite Society. I don't know if you've heard his stuff, but that's like his sort of thing. And James, the other guy, who's like a musical genius, has got Slow Drift and In-Flight Movies. So we've all got sort of things that we're sort of doing, and I'm a bit overloaded at the moment. And I think we all are, so it's sort of an indefinite kind of hiatus thing.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And, you know, the whole music scene is very busy and, mm-hmm. and fertile, and especially in Oxford, what I've seen. And it's wonderful to hear that you are involved in lots of different projects, and then that you can come and do the solo work. And you must have drawn from so much to help you along the way in this solo project.
Yeah, definitely. I think I love sad music. Like, all my favorite songs are probably sad songs. I like happy songs too, but the ones that stick with me are like sadder ones. And I think that's hard to channel into a band sometimes, because you need a bit more range. You need it to be fun when you're practicing together. You know, you can't spend 4 hours being a bit, I'm sad, but I can do that in my room, it's fine. So I think this was like a nice avenue for me to be able to like do those ideas without detracting from the band, or like pushing it in a way that it's not really meant to go.
Yeah, it's a wonderful opportunity to go solo. I can imagine, I can liken it to my experience with Cinema Under the Stairs and working with that group of people. And we started a podcast, and we do regular monthly films, and we do a horror festival and all of that. But when it came to the lockdown and all of the restrictions we had, I was able to think about doing something on my own. And I got a bit of a push from that. I don't know if I would have done it without. And that's what led me to do this podcast. And it is quite a wonderful experience. You know, you've learned so much from being with people, and then you take that away and try something on your own, and you see the things that you're good at and what you probably weren't so good at and what support you may need.
Good, yeah, no, just from what you said there, like I didn't know that you did that Cinema Under the Stairs thing before. I'm not sure if it was your group, but like back when I hadn't been married, but I am married still to the same person, I phrased that badly. But I think the cellar was shutting, and I think like one of the options was the cinema thing. I can't remember if it was you guys that did it.
Yeah, that's right.
But I remember messaging to like try and potentially watch Elf, I think it was.
Oh, the Christmas special. Yeah.
Because we got married around then. But like, I just thought that was cool, because I had no idea that you were part of that at the time.
Yeah. So that was the cellar that closed down. And that was a very good music venue. And lots of really bands performed in there.
Really fun.
Yeah. So that's, also, there's so many little artistic projects going on around the city. Interesting that you were aware of it back then. Wow.
Yeah. I always thought I love stuff like that. I love film and cinema in general. So like anything where it's somewhere that's not a cinema is just inherently cool, I think.
Yeah, so the song you wrote, Cabrini Green, was interesting, because you got the inspiration from the film Candyman.
Yeah.
And when you told me about that, I thought, well, you must be interested in films, because that's a 1992 version, or which one was it?
Kind of both, really. Like, I I went to see the newer one. I was in Edinburgh, like with my wife just visiting, and we had like nothing to do, so we just went to see what was on, and it was the new one, and I was surprised by how much I like it. You know, I like horror films, I like arty films, and it just felt like it tapped into something different, and I kept it stuck with me for a little while. And just particularly, there's this intro scene with all these buildings like upside down, and for some reason that like triggered the sort of start of the song in my head, and then just went from there. And then I did go and watch the original one too, and then that sort of informed some of the lyrics. And because there was so much in the new one, it was its own thing, but it felt like, oh, I need to go and see this one to understand it, because the way they referenced back to it, I thought was really clever and like drew me into it more.
Yeah, it's a good film. It's quite scary, that whole mirror thing. And if you say Candyman five times, don't do it.
Don't do it, Warren. Don't do it.
I'm so tempted. I have only got to four.
Yeah.
There's a couple of mirrors in here, but maybe I shouldn't.
No. I don't think so. But no, I like that. But I like that there was so much more like to it with the people that live there, like the experiences that they go through, and particularly the modern one, how that area is gentrified and it's completely changed, and but the pain and the horror is still there, like under the surface, but just covered up with money, really. So I thought that was like a cool thing to like look into.
Yeah, it is interesting, and it's nice to hear that you've been inspired by film to write. And I guess lots of artists, musicians, get inspired by films and literature, and take it from anywhere, really, whatever strikes a chord with you.
Yeah, I think tons. That quite a few Juniper Night songs as well are from books or films or something. You know, the name is from a Black Mirror episode called San Junipero, and we were renaming the band at the time, and that one stuck out, but we didn't want people to think we were Spanish or that we were capable of speaking Spanish. So we just twisted it to be like nights out in that town, and more or less that.
Yeah, another brilliant name for a band, and self-help, in fact. And
yeah, I have nothing to do with the name for self-help. Like I joined quite a while into their career, but I've always loved it. And Danny, the singer, mentioned he thought about changing it once, but I was like, you can't. It's a great name. Like, it's so memorable, and it looks great. Like I love it.
It's really good. And I've been listening to a number of the Juniper Night songs, and they're really great. And you're the lead singer in that band, and you'll get this for the listeners. You'll get the solo, what they're hearing now, but in just a slightly different format with a full band. And it's definitely another one worth listening to. I'm desperate to see you guys live, but that will come. I think you're playing at the Riverside Festival, aren't you?
Yeah, we're doing a Club Cacophony gig on the 7th, and then Riverside we're doing as well, and self-help too.
Okay.
On the same day, so I get to do a sort of front and back thing, which is always fun.
Oh, excellent. I'll be at the Riverside Festival.
Nice, yeah.
And we'll be chatting to bands as they come off the stage, perhaps.
Yeah, nice, nice.
So that will be nice in the backstage area. Ian will be around, and I'll be asking silly questions and just being a bit of a goof.
I'll be trying not to panic myself, because that's a whole other thing. But yes,
you're performing as well.
Yeah, you on a Saturday?
Yeah, I think you're on after us, not immediately.
I'm probably sandwiched somewhere between your two bands, right?
Yeah. So watch the whole day at the whole stage.
I've got backstage passes because I'm part of the whatever. I get to go backstage. I hope you hopefully get a lanyard or something.
You haven't been to Riverside before, have you?
No.
No, it's lovely, but don't expect lanyards, is all I'm saying.
Okay, that's fine.
It's very low-key. Like, it's nice.
It's amazing. You've been before, right?
Yeah, last year was the first time.
It's very cool. Sorry, I'll shut up now.
No, it's cool.
Oh, it's lovely to hear you chatting. I gave you a microphone this time, so you can have your own. Yeah, so I'll get to see Juniper Nights and Self-Help. Wow, okay, excellent. That's a treat.
And from Self-Help, Paddy, keyboard player, he's got another band playing Yellow County, Yellow County. They've just started and they're like Cat God adjacent. And they're like, he's played me some of their stuff. Like, they're so good. So definitely watch that too.
I will. They are really good. I'm due to do a shed session with them at some point. Or we are due to do a shed session with them, which is exciting.
Oh, they'll be great. They'll be great for sure.
Good. Well, there's so much to chat about. And I love chatting with you. I feel really relaxed. But I'd also like to hear another song, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. I think I'll do Cabrini Green. And I brought a paintbrush because I thought it sounds cool.
Sweets for the sweet, laughing.
Thank you.
And that's the one that's from Candyman that we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. And Cabrini Green is the area where that evil thing with the hook hand.
Yeah, it's from a housing project in Chicago, I think. And it's a real place.
Mm. And when I saw the title the first time, I hadn't seen Candyman.
Yeah.
And when we were in touch and chatting about some of your music, and you told me that that's where it came from, I went and watched the film. And again, that title is just so lovely, Cabrini Green, because it could be anything. It doesn't have to relate to that place. It could be a shade of green. It could be a green space. It could be a housing project, could be anything. Mm. So I love the way you draw from your surroundings, and you can clearly see that in the artwork you choose and the artwork you make yourself. And that song is probably one of my favorites. And I really do like Dark Forest, and I actually like them all. And Float Along is also fantastic. And speaking about your imagery you use, and the one you've used for Float Along, you're on like a, what do you call those, like a roundabout swing, or what are they called?
I don't actually know, but you know, it's, you see them at festivals, those, you're on a swing and it goes up in the air and it just goes around, and like that's just me and like my best mate, and we were at Truck last year, and I played with Slow Drift just like for that one show, and like I'm quite bad with heights, but my friend convinced me to go on it, and then my wife just took this picture, and then a lot of my art for like the early songs as well, I would just scroll through my phone sort of feed and be like, there's got to be something, and then be like, that stuck out. Yeah. And at the time I was trying to not associate myself with it because I thought that was cool, but I scrapped that quite quickly, but I had the sort of X'd out faces that went with that.
And I think that goes well, actually, the X'd out faces, because you think, why? And then you think, doesn't matter. It's just X'd out, isn't it? But those rides actually do lift you quite high, because as they spin, your swing kind of through the Coriolis force or whatever it is, it like pulls you out.
Yeah.
And you're like on this tiny chair with the chains. I went on one at Alex James's farm years ago. He has that festival.
The big festival,
And there was one there. And
nice.
I went with my boy, and he was really young at the time and wanted to go on there. And we were both quite scared because I don't like heights that much either, but it was good to go on. And when I saw that image, it was nice to see. And I remember Dave Matthews' band, he had an album called Under the Table and Dreaming, and on the cover, there's one of those rides too.
Oh, cool.
And that kind of, you kind of piece things together like a puzzle throughout your life. You see something and you're like, I've seen that, something similar before. And I love how it just changes and morphs, and you pick things up and you don't even realize it. And I get really drawn in by your artwork and your videos that you shoot too. So those are wonderful to look at. You know, I started off this session talking about my day and my weekend and the sunshine and everything. But how's your day been?
Been fine, been nice. I was at work today, and I've started there pretty recently. And it was like everyone there's really nice, and it's a cool job. It's fun to just talk about music all day long and talk to people about music. I work in the drum department there, and I'm not sure I did my job very well today, because a guy came in, he was asking about an electric kit, basically like, just get an acoustic kit, just do it, you know, that's so much better. But it was an option for him, you know. I wouldn't try and persuade someone to do something they shouldn't, but it's fun to like to chat to people. So it was a pretty nice day in general.
But you get to work with, get surrounded by guitars and drums and music, sheet music, I think they sell in the store. And it's a really cool place. And I don't know how you're going to be able to work somewhere like that and not spend all your wages in there.
Like, I've already picked out everything that I want. You know, I've already spoken to my manager, been like, can I get that on finance? Like, can I get that? There's this bass that I'm like, I've fallen in love with already. And I'm just nervously waiting by the door in case anyone walks in to look at it, just so I could be like, that's terrible, mate. That's a bass is shocking. Don't bother. Just so I can wait to afford it. But
you could put a little sold sticker on.
Oh yeah. It's on sale at the moment as well, which is scary.
But
you know, I'll do what I have to do.
Yeah. Well, and in a shop like that, I can imagine in Oxford, a music shop selling like the best music stuff you can get. There's two music shops I'm aware of along that Carly Road stretch. There's the Music Box, which is a lovely old shop. And then the shop that you work for is further down.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminds me of the shop on Wayne's World. I think it's Wayne's World 1 or 2 where they go into this music store. I think Wayne wants a guitar and they go in and I think Garth starts playing the drums or something and he kind of drifts off.
Yeah.
He's like playing the drums really hard and someone tells him not to. But whenever I see the shop where you work in, I think of that Wayne's World scene.
No stairway. Denied.
I like to play.
But it's just like a big toy shop.
No, it is. And it is kind of like that, to be honest. And nobody cares if you play Stairway. It's fine.
It's like, not denied.
Yeah. No, you know, half the time we're not really listening. Like, we don't want anyone to feel like pressured, you know.
Yeah.
I feel terrified going into music stores, like playing anything, because you feel like everyone's going to, but no one cares. It's fine. Play whatever you like.
I'll be in there tomorrow then. See what I can do. But have you, I know you haven't been there very long, but has anyone come in that's been really exciting, like maybe a local artist?
I don't know if you know Alexander Armstrong from Pointless, the host.
Ian's nodding.
Yeah.
I don't know who it is.
He's a comedian too, but he hosts that game show Pointless, and he came in with his son looking for something. I haven't seen anyone else, but after that interaction, like, we were all behind the desk being like, oh, who's come in? Like, I think from Radiohead, I think Phil Selway occasionally, one of the guys went over to Colin Greenwood's house, I think, to tune up his drum kit. Just chatted. Gaz Coombs apparently comes in a lot. Jamie from Glasshouse, shout out to him, local legend. But yeah, I think there's quite a few people, and not necessarily who you'd expect. Like, a lot of actors come in for like recording stuff for podcasts, etc. So it's not just limited to music. But it's nice to just see people I know as well. I feel like every other day, like, someone from some band comes in and it's just nice to chat. So the best thing about it is it's such a like nice environment. Like, we obviously have to do our jobs and pay attention, but there's a like nice undertone to it.
Yeah, I'm so pleased to hear it. And what a place to work. And, you know, you're immersed in your music, and this is an extension of that. And I mean, one day maybe you won't need to have that day job. You can.
Yeah.
That's the goal, isn't it?
Great. Of course, I hope so. But for what it is, like, it's a lovely one to have.
Oh, good. I'll come down now that I know you're there.
And do
come and say hi.
For sure.
And I don't need any more music stuff. I got myself a nice bass guitar, which I play very badly, but I got it from the shop where you're at. And Maybe. What bass guitar are you after? What is it?
I don't want to tell people. Okay. I can, but I don't know.
Is it a limited edition?
No, but I don't know about you, but you know, you attach yourself to something. I don't know. It has an aura to
me.
It's like my guitar, it feels like if I lost this and bought an identical one, it's not the same. It becomes your thing.
No, I'm totally with you. I tried. So I have this black Martin acoustic. Mm-hmm. I tried one identical to it in London. Didn't gel with it. Tried one up in Edinburgh, and it was amazing.
Yeah.
And didn't buy it when I was on holiday, and then had to get it shipped from Edinburgh to Oxford because I missed it so much.
Yeah.
So I understand when you've got a passion for something, and then you get to work with.
Yeah.
You know, instruments and things that feed that passion. That's nice to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
James, can we have another song?
Yeah.
And
this one's not out. It's an older one that I'm trying to rework and finish up. So the lyrics are quite fresh. So I might stare down at it while I'm doing it. But this one's called, I think, Dreamer, or maybe Violet on the Sun. I'm not sure which is better.
White-eyed, I was a dreamer. Oh, my bitter mind couldn't even see. Like I wanted to need her. Oh, my love could die in this bottomless river.
So good to hear something that you haven't released. It's always a treat when someone brings in a pre-release and it's sounding very good. Really nice to hear that. I kind of, I'm while you're playing, I'm thinking this is just so amazing, you know, that we can get together and make this podcast together or this session together and to hear new songs. It's a real privilege and we're very grateful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you.
Who are your influences? Who do you look up to in the music world? I know you mentioned a lot of local artists, which is great to hear.
I think there's tons. I think for this in particular, it's bands like Mazzy Star, Beach House, Elliot Smith. There's a guy I found recently called like Ziora. I might be saying that wrong, but it's quite like grungy, depressing. And it feels like for the drummier stuff, it feels like, oh, okay, I want to channel some of that. But generally, like Pearl Jam were a really big one for me. I saw the sticker, which reminded me. Radiohead, obviously. But tons. And I think I feared this question because I will leave feeling like, oh, I forgot them. Because there's so many. But yeah, Kate Bush a little bit. I could go on, but tons.
I understand. I'm the same, really. I'm like a bit of a sponge, you know. There's so much out there, and I equally, if someone asked me that question, I'd struggle a little. And what you say on one day changes, you know, from the next. But there's always those constants. And Mazzy Star, what's it, Fade Into You?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one of my favorite songs ever. It's beautiful.
Oh yeah. Me too.
It's a good one, and yeah, that's. It's good that music keeps giving, so you can keep drawing from different bands all the time. And
I think as well, Frank Ocean is a really big one, and then the 1975 as well. I think more recently, I liked them a lot when they first came out, and then sort of stopped paying attention because I felt like, oh, it's not cool to like them. And then again, I feel like I'm old enough now to be like, actually, you know, I like them, and I saw them last weekend. And that is one song, and I nearly started like crying when it came on because I was so like buzzing to hear it. I was quite drunk, but like that helped allow the emotion to flow. But it was like they were incredible live, and I love seeing like bands that you like, and you've got to take the opportunity to do that while you can. You know, I think Chris Cornell was a really big one for me, and I regret that I didn't go to see him when I lived in Canada for a year, which is where I met my wife. Like the first week I was there and didn't know anyone, he was playing this show, like just an acoustic tour, and there were tickets and I could have gone, but I didn't really know the city and I was a bit nervous about it. And now I look back, I'm like, you should have done that. So I think if you can see anyone, do it. Yeah, you have to.
And I agree with you. It's so important to not worry about what other people may think. And when you mentioned Pearl Jam, it's one of those bands where you say, oh yeah, I like Pearl Jam, and people think, oh, they're so mainstream, they kind of took off, they're huge, Eddie Vedder's annoying, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I think back and I think they actually brought me into grunge music, and Alice in Chains and Soul Asylum, and there's a few others, but Pearl Jam has been a constant. And like you, I'm not ashamed to say it anymore. I'm just like, yeah, I like them. I don't mind.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Dave Matthews Band earlier, and that could be seen as another band where people just like, oh yeah, so obvious. But no, I like it. I don't mind. But that's great. You got to see the 1975.
Yeah, they were great. And that Pearl Jam I've seen too, and they're amazing. I mean, I think the first time I grew my hair long was because I was trying to be like Eddie Vedder. I spent 2 years trying to be like, oh, when I sang. And then I liked Radiohead, and I was like, actually, it's okay to sing a bit higher.
But
Eddie Vedder's, I love him.
Well, I'm pleased to hear that. And James, do we have perhaps one more song to play us out with? And perhaps I'll say good night and thank you. Thank you, Ian, for doing the audio and Alex for doing the photography. It's just been a wonderful evening and so, so good to have this opportunity. And thank you for joining us. And your music is so good, and I enjoy listening to it very much, and I can't wait to see you at Riverside and hopefully more places.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Thanks so much for having me and all for having to put it on too. I think the last one I'll do is called Snowfall. I just have this. A little bit at the end might sound a bit sketchy because it's hard to reach, but I'll do my best.
Wow, really good. Thank you. Hope you have a really good trip home, and thank you, everyone. Thanks a lot.